Hey, drama listeners. Connor and I have an absolutely amazing episode for you this week. We had the pleasure of sitting down with two of the stars of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, now celebrating its sixth year on Broadway. Can you believe it? I mean, started out as two parts, now it's just one evening epic, but we had such a good time. Kara and Daniel play Ron and Hermione. I'm so glad we had the two of them. They're a dynamic duo that give Connor and I a run for our money. Let's put it that way. Of course, the fun does not stop with just this episode. Connor and I have so many bonus episodes available on our Patreon, Drama Plus, where we break down literally all of the theater, pop culture, love, and life that's going on out there in the world. With the Tony nominations freshly out, we will be having our reactions to that, but we would really love it if you would support. It's $5 a month, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. You also get to join our close friends on Instagram. And as I always say, you win the undying love from Connor and I. All right, enough of me. Let's get on to the show with Kara Ricketts and Daniel Frederick.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I'm so excited, bursting out the seams here, because, you know, in the 4.5, however many years we've been doing this show, we've only been lucky enough to have some Harry Potter representation one other time, which is crazy,
yes,
considering
true.
I did work at the Lyric for 9 months in 2018, 2019, first as the general management intern, and then as the food and beverage purchasing coordinator for that summer.
That was when you referred to yourself as a career intern.
I did. Well, I was 25, still interning. It was tough times.
I look back on that time as special, though. I mean, I remember, like, you heading off to the Lyric in the morning. I remember taking pictures of you in front of the Lyric when you announced your next gig and everything. It was fun. That was back when it was two parts.
It was. And it was right after they won the Tony. It was crazy. I mean, I helped coordinate like house seats, and it was bonkers what people would spend on these tickets, and still do. But it was so exciting. I actually made so many friends that I still keep in touch with to this day. Cast, crew, people working front of house, you know, merch. It was such a good experience. So it was kind of a trip to go back and see the show at the beginning of April, because I had not been there since I left. Because I left summer 2019 and then hadn't seen the show or been back since COVID. So it was like kind of it was crazy. It brought back so many memories. I remembered like leaning over the balcony and like having froze and having boy problems like summer 2019. But anyway, it was so fun. And Dylan, I need you to come to the city and see the condensed version,
right?
Which I'm so excited to talk about. Even though our guests, I don't think they were in the two-part version, which is like probably annoying for them. People are probably always like, so what's different about the show? And they're like, well, I don't know.
But listen, it's definitely something that's on my list, because Hunter has never seen it and he's dying as well. So when we make our next visit.
I'm telling you, revisiting it after so many years, the stage magic and effects and the tricks, there's nothing else like it on Broadway.
Keep the secrets.
Remember that whole Key the Secrets campaign? Yeah. That was the whole thing. It blew my mind. And these two are phenomenal. I mean, they're so fun on stage together, great chemistry. And I'm stoked because we're celebrating, what, is this 6 years on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
That is such a feat, especially for a play.
I know.
That's crazy. All right. We got so much to get into.
Yes. So I'm going to read the first one and you'll read the second one, okay?
Okay. Love it.
Our first magical guest is the brilliant Kara Ricketts, currently starring as Hermione Granger in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway. Before stepping into the wonderful wizarding world of the Lyric Theater, she made her Broadway debut in Time and the Conways with Roundabout Theater Company, right next door to the Lyric, actually. Other stage appearances include Good Bones, Arden of Faversham, Measure for Measure, Richard III, Constellations, Hedda Gabler, The Wild Party, Cyrano de Bergerac, The Homecoming, and many more. On film, she's been seen in Diaspora, Jean of the Jones, and Across the Line. Select television credits include her ACTRA-winning performance in Anne with an E, Manifest, Departure, The Resident, Street Legal, Law & Order SVU, Titans, one of our favorites, Connor, Orphan Black, and more. You might recognize her voice from Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, Far Cry New Dawn, Hyperspace, and Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Our second guest can solemnly swear he's up to no good, at least this morning. The incredible Daniel Frederick stars as Ron Weasley in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway. He previously made main stem appearances in Take Me Out and the Lehman Trilogy. Some of his regional credits include Noises Off, The Importance of Being Earnest, Red, Mickle Street, Cabaret, The Explorers Club, Shoplifters, Arcadia, Hound of the Baskervilles, Winter's Tale, Midsummer, Antony and Cleopatra, and Much Ado About Nothing. On television, he can be seen in Mare of Easttown, Black Butler, and on film in Treehouse on Amazon Prime. Please welcome to drama, Kara Ricketts
and Daniel Frederick.
Holy cow. Here we are.
I didn't know you did all that work, Frederick. I thought we just kind of like met off the street and went into the audition.
Yeah, you thought this is my first play, man. Yeah, I don't know, I've never done a play before.
That thought actually crossed my mind where I was like, I wonder if they're learning things about each other in this moment with these credits.
I think we knew one of the fun things about when Carr and I came into this together was learning that we have similar type backgrounds in terms of how we came up and working on a lot of classic plays, doing like Shakespeare and Shaw and all that stuff. So it was really fun to like, to learn that about each other and be like, oh, okay, great. We're coming at this from a similar place.
Yeah. It was also kind of great too, because it wasn't, since I didn't know anything about him before, our connection is almost entirely off of the audition, which was such a great, Daniel was my reader in my audition and we connected in a really cool way. And so we connected so much that like, I saw him on callbacks and he was on the street and I'm like, do I know you from somewhere? He's like, I'm the reader. I'm going to go audition for Ron. And I'm like, cool.
Oh, so this wasn't like a final rounds type thing. Like you were an audition reader, Daniel.
Yeah, I've been an audition reader for this show since 2017. So the Ron who has been with the production for a couple of years was originally not going to leave. So I was like, maybe next year I'll get to audition, but I'll do my reader work as usual. And so I read with, you know, everybody coming into audition, including Kara, whose audition made me cry, was incredible. And I think I remember you finished and I was like, you got me. And yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's like one of the best Hermione auditions I've ever seen.
And you'd seen them all. I mean, honestly.
And I had seen them all. Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know, it was maybe a week or so later that the actor decided to leave the show, move on to something else. And I got asked to audition. And yeah, we ran into each other like on like 35th and 8th. Outside Ripley or Pearl or wherever it was. And we were both like,
yeah. And so the friendship began.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Well, and Connor tells me the two of you have amazing chemistry on stage, a great dynamic, and I hope to see it eventually. I want to hear all about it. We have so many questions about everything, but I do kind of want to check in and just see where the two of you are at. Whoever wants to go first, Kara or Daniel, are you well?
I am. I'm pretty, I was like, am I well at 10:30 on a Thursday after, no, today's Friday, right? Today's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She's not
that
well.
Answers your question.
I'm much better than I was maybe January, in that I'm finally understanding the rigor of the show. Like, you know, this is a show that's been running for 6 years and it is a play. And it's very, I've kind of wished, I was saying this to Daniel last night, like, it's so weird how you manifest certain things. And I've always wanted to have a musical, big musical experience, even though I don't sing in that way. And Harry Potter's very much that. And I just remember actually using counts, which I had never done before either. You're like, I'm an actor, I don't count. But in order to even join this production and learn everything fast enough, the counts were very important and ultimately super useful to me. So a good chunk of getting into this show, like we had opened with two full runs of the show in its entirety, and then we were in front of an audience. So there was a lot of adjusting, like my body adjusting, my knees were super tight. I had to go get help with that. And I'm finally feeling the rhythm of the show as much as I can. I still don't know what day it is and still getting used to early morning wake ups, but I am very well. I'm loving this experience that I'm on at this moment. So yes, I'm well.
That's great.
I'm so glad to hear it. You're right. It is very like, I mean, it's a grand epic on stage with the way the music moves every scene through. And I don't want to give away secrets, but I can imagine all the running around you're doing and swapping things in and out and costumes. And it's crazy. My body would be broken after like the first scene. I think.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, it was.
But Daniel, are you well? Or do you go by Dan? What do you prefer?
Daniel's great. Yeah, and I don't know. It's not really Dan, not really Danny. No judgment to those that are. I'm very well. Yeah, my son is like 1 3/4. He'll be 2 in July. And so It's been a big, like such a huge part of me kind of finding my footing in the schedule has been balancing that with having a toddler. And so he's a little sick today. So I'm physically fine, but mentally and emotionally, I'm a little bit like my little buddy. But that's, you know, that's just like part of toddler life is getting sick often and for no reason. Kind of what's going on with me is like during the day, I'm like toddler, family, child, and then get to work. And then and that's when I can sort of start to spare the brain space to think about that.
Yeah, I can imagine that's actually one of the perks probably of having a kid that age and being an actor, a working actor, is that your schedule actually suits you being able to help out and be around during the day.
It's awesome. I tell you what, you know, Wednesdays and Saturdays, you know, 2-show days are tough because you don't get a lot of time. But then the rest of the time, I'm home until about 4:30 when I need to head down. And that's, you know, you just want like all the time because it's such a special age. Yeah. But barring that, it's like, this is about as good as it gets.
Totally. It's probably a lot to balance in general with also like taking care of your body, like you were saying, Cara, but the product is incredible. I'm excited to hear like what has it been like so far being in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child? When did you begin performances?
November 14th. Before that, we did a month's worth, just a little over a month of rehearsing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that longer than usual?
I think it is. Yeah.
For a replacement. Yeah. We had 6 weeks, which to replace is pretty wild. Having been a part of audition readings for shows that we're looking to replace, that's 6 weeks is a pretty luxurious amount of time. So I was certainly, when I found out we had that much, I was pretty surprised by that and delighted by it because we wound up needing like every minute of it.
Had you seen the show? But I mean, I know Daniel, you've had such an experience with it, but Cara, had you seen the Broadway show before you were cast?
No, I hadn't seen it. I like had heard about it. I had a few friends who had done it, but I had not seen the show at all. And so it was a lot of like, my Harry Potter experience is a lot of people telling me what it is, which is pretty cool. I didn't read the books. I didn't watch the movies. I just missed out on all of that. So it's been a lot of fun being immersed in it through the excitement of others.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of like, stairs are moving. I've got to hang on for my dear life. Okay.
That's pretty unique. Yeah, because I feel like it was a collective experience for a lot of people who were so in it. I mean, people lining up for the book releases. Like it was a cultural thing. And so as you're experiencing it, it's so magical for the first time being in it. I can imagine that's really exciting too, though.
It's kind of like how I missed out on the Kardashians wave with Keeping Up With and now the Hulu series. So it's like one of those cultural blind spots I have of 20 years of Kardashians that are just everyone knows about but me.
Kind That's of, you on know. You, Connor, because it's in the title. It says Keep Up With Them.
It does.
You chose not to. So that's on you.
Yes, exactly.
Cultural phenomenons, the Kardashians and Harry Potter. I mean, honestly. But you'd heard about, you know, Hermione is this iconic female character. I mean, everyone loves her. So beloved. So I'm sure you knew.
Yeah. When the audition came your way, what was your initial reaction?
I was kind of afraid to do it. I wasn't sure if I wanted to tackle that because I was aware of how important she was to everyone. I was also equally aware that they had Numa play her in the UK production and what that meant for people, as we've seen Hunger Games, where you have, you know, people who look one way and then they're being played by someone else. And I love the character. I love playing her now. And I definitely love the relationship that I have with Daniel and Steve Haggard. Like the three of us get on stage and I feel the friendship that was also really iconic in the books. Like that feels very real to me. But initially I was like, I'll do film and TV. And then there was a strike. So
the strike brought
it's
you.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel, you're the reader. You're in all these auditions. Was Ron always the role you dreamed of doing? Or were you like,
you know, I just wanted to be in the show. I think I was like, this is, I wish I could sing. I love musical theater so much, but I'm not a singer. And so I was like, well, I want a long running steady gig. And if you act in plays, you know, for a long time, I mean, it's rare that there's one such play like this. You know, the longest running play in Broadway history is from like late 1930s, early 1940s. So it's very rare.
Yeah.
So for a while it was Harry Potter and Mockingbird, and then Mockingbird didn't come back. And I saw this play in London in 2016, 2017, and loved it, wanted to be a part of it, and was just like, I want a long running gig. I want steady work. I want to work as an actor and just have it be steady, have some kind of stability as much as you can get. So I was like, I'll do whatever. I'll push staircases. I'll wear a blonde wig. I'll wear a red wig. I was like, I don't care. I'll do whatever.
And redheads do have more fun. So
I know, but we say that, but that's only because we haven't gotten to wear the Draco wig yet. So we don't really know.
That's true. Daniel, did you have like a connection with, was it Telsey or I don't know what?
Jim Carnahan cast. Yeah, Jim Carnahan, yeah. Incredible, legendary New York casting director, casts the show. And I had gone to an EPA for another show, for Play That Goes Wrong. Alexander Blow, who's the associate, is like, hey, I need an audition reader who's too tall to play a kid in this show and too young to play an adult and can do a British accent. And if he can act, great. And Stephen Koppel, who's the other casting director in the office, was like, I just saw this guy. So I started doing that. They've got a stable of readers there. And I started doing Harry Potter. And I've since done a bunch of others, but Harry Potter was kind of the main one I did for them.
I thought that description was on your CV. Too tall to play a kid.
I'm sorry, this is America. What is a CV?
I know what I was going to say. Oh,
the Canadian is coming through, Cara.
Yeah, next she'll be asking what color our hair is.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. That's right.
Well done. Well done. Okay, and so you have a nickname for each other, Big Dog.
Big Dog.
You told us before, but I think it's so cute. Can you tell our listeners where this came from and why?
Where did it come? Did we just start barking one day? I think we started barking.
No, you're unhinged. You know, no, I think I just started, you know, we got on really, really well right away. I think we immediately were like, oh, you're like my kind of person and my kind of actor. And so we would just come into our son and be like, Big Dog, how you doing? and then you, once that caught on, then we started barking at each other.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but we didn't just start with animal noises.
You say it like weird. When the pack calls, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Now, does Steve participate? Steve, you mentioned him. He plays Harry, right? Does he participate in this?
Steve's not in the dog pack.
Okay.
But he's part of the gang for sure.
He's in the gang for sure. Yeah. Steve's call is he'll just start twerking. That's his. He'll just walk into the hall and start twerking. That's his way of being like, hey, what's up, guys?
I will say there is a fair bit of us dancing and like we'll shoot some TikToks together too. Like that's the kind of energy that the three of us have together, which is really nice.
Yeah. Aww, how cute. Yeah. You know, when I saw the show, I missed Steve. He was out that night, but I did see, okay, wait, I wrote his name down because I wanted to remember this, because he was giving Dilf Harry down. Logan James Hall.
Yeah, Logan's a hottie, that's for sure.
I've never, in all my years of loving Harry Potter, I've never been really into the Harry character, never really been. That night, ooh, I was dropped in. I was like, oh my God, this father, he's so complex.
Electric. Just,
I can fix him, you know. I could be so, Ginny in the Dark with the red hair. Anyway.
He's so hot and tortured and hot.
No, I know.
I don't think you can fix that.
He's messy.
There's a lot of baggage.
But on the topic of like being a dad, I mean, I was reminded of how beautiful the show is. It's truly this father-son relationship at the core of the play. And I'm always so moved in that final scene, which is so quiet. And I think it was just such a beautiful choice for the show to end like that. After everything you've seen, it just really, really hits you in the heart. I just love it. Oh my God, so good.
I do love the play for that. The universal themes of family and friendship too. And like, not to give anything away, but we do see characters that people have memory to. And so in a weird way, like I was saying before, with my experience of people telling me what the show is and what the experience is, it feels familial. It feels like breaking bread at this huge table of, you know, family members who've all shared like a major experience. Because I do remember when Harry Potter came out, Instagram was still kind of relatively hot. We were talking about like images being more important than words. And I remember plays were getting super cut down in hopes of keeping the audience interested. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden there was this tome of a book that kids were reading and adults were reading. And I think it still speaks to the fact that the play's been running for 6 years and doesn't really seem to be slowing down. Like, we hit some box office numbers over the holidays, that there is something really special and magical happening. And people have that memory or feeling of it when they come and see the show. And that is a one of a kind experience.
You're giving me chills. It is. It's something too, because like Connor and I were the same age as the books were coming out. Like in first grade, the first book came out. Like, you know, like we kind of grew up with it. And so now that there's this living, breathing thing that's on Broadway, being able to revisit it is like coming home for the holidays, or like revisiting in a special way. And I think that's awesome. And I love that it's multi-generational too, with the way that everyone connects with it. Wait, something that I thought of, do either of you know what your Hogwarts houses would be?
Yes.
You've taken the quiz or whatever, or do you just like assume?
It's mandatory. The moment in the company, you've got to take the quiz and let everybody know. And so mine, I've gotten Slytherin before, but I identify Ravenclaw.
We are the same, Cara. That is exactly what's happened with me.
Okay, thank you. And I think that's happened to a few people. Mm-hmm. And then I get really tortured about it, because it's like, am I truly Ravenclaw? Or am I like, am I hiding my Slytherin by adopting a Ravenclaw behavior?
Well, that would make sense, right? And also, like, you can kind of, by taking the quiz, you know maybe what someone would say, you know, so it's tough. But
you sound very Slytherin saying that. I just gotta let you know.
Okay.
You do. Manipulating the results. Oh gosh, come on.
I'll own it. What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm a Ravenclaw, but like slowly, like fatherhood is definitely like turning me into a Hufflepuff. Yeah, I just like acid wash jeans, sweats, elastic band shorts, Hawaiian shirts. It's like, that's Hufflepuff stuff, man. That's not that's not Ravenclaw.
Yeah, but at your core, you are Raven. I thought I was Ravenclaw, and then we had to shoot like Ravenclaw videos, and like the precision and elegance of which Daniel Frederick brought to that shoot, I was like, oh, that's what a Ravenclaw is. Wow. Okay.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank my family. No, that's definitely true. I think I love, you know, I used to take, I think as a lot of like young people, like especially being like a theater student in college, you love like being, there's something about being like a know-it-all. There's something about being snobby that's really fun and appealing. And you kind of like get together and you're like, I hated it. And you talk about all the reasons why, and hopefully they're informed. But you know, the older I get, I still have strong opinions, but it's like the less urgent and pressing it feels to make them known, for sure. Except to Cara. Cara hears all my strong takes.
Well, speaking of theater school, being young, maybe getting sorted. Oh my God, I'm so like corny today.
You said sorted, and you had talked about working at the Lyric Theater.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to shout out Chad Alexander, who plays the Sorting Hat, who also worked at the Lyric Theater for a while. And
oh my
now
God.
Is part of the company. So I just think it's really, I think the Lyric Theater has its own magic too, and in terms of like people who start there and then go on to do awesome things.
I that's absolutely true. I think there was an usher, wasn't there, Connor?
There was an usher.
John Steiger,
and he went out to do it in California. Is that right?
He played Scorpius in San Francisco. Yeah, I remember John's audition. Yeah,
you do.
Oh, well, of course, you were there.
I actually had to take the Sorting Hat when I applied to work there too. So it's just very, very on brand.
They're not messing around.
And what was it again? Hufflepuff?
Hufflepuff. Oh yeah. Yeah. But okay, so we like to ask our guests about the moment they got into the arts. Cara, let's start with you. Do you feel like you can remember when you got bit by the bug?
I was bit by the bug very young. I must have been an insufferable child. Like, I was a very dramatic little girl. But the one thing I do remember that I connected with some other acting friends with is that I'm part of like the PBS Phantom of the Opera crew. Like, there's just a group of kids who PBS was on and they showed Phantom of the Opera. And there's a good chunk of us who related to that drama, and that led to us becoming performers.
Was this like a professionally shot from like a Broadway production, or was this like the one with like the live action one? That
no, okay. It's not the live action movie one. It was like shot in the theater, like the full on Broadway performance.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and beautiful. And like, I barely remember a lot of things from my childhood, but I remember the TV like perched up on a dresser and mouthing the words because I had seen it that much.
This is electric. This is news to me. We're never going to stop talking about Phantom.
Did you want to be Christine?
Oh, yes. You know, and I, when I was a kid, I could definitely hit those notes or something that I thought those notes were.
So could I.
And I would say my boyfriend's going to kill me, but my boyfriend has like dark brooding moments, not like Phantom, but like in a way that I enjoy that might have come from the Phantom.
But he's hot like the Phantom's hot. That, you know,
he's hotter than the Phantom.
Having seen Stereophonic, I can confirm he is. I'm not coming for your man by any means, but
no one is hotter than the Phantom. What is the matter with you? This is outrageous.
We'll talk about it when I get to work.
Okay,
we'll
all right.
But yeah, wait, Cara, I heard that, well, Dylan saw Stereophonic last week. He comes home and he's like telling you about the whole cast, and he did bring up your man, and then to find out you're together was,
I know,
was fateful.
You know, the funnier thing too is that we had known about each other and really liked each other's work, but we met doing Shakespeare at Tofana. Like, we ended up doing 7 hours worth of, what was it, babe? Henry IV?
Four, Richard II.
Henry IV and Richard II.
Tom?
He's here.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
You want to come say hi, babe?
Yeah.
Yes, I want that.
So does Dylan.
Hi, Tom. I love your work.
Thank you.
I love your work.
Exactly. Well, it's complicated. It's like the Phantom, as you were saying, Daniel. It's like, it's like a tough situation when you're like,
yeah,
you're an asshole. And I,
in Stereophonic, you know,
in Stereophonic. I don't know anything about, yeah, I'm sure he's a lovely boyfriend, but in the show, it's like a tough thing, you know?
I don't feel that way at all. I feel
of course you don't.
Well, it's funny because I think it's closer to maybe A-type personalities or something. You know, when you're in the business or when you're an artist and you're so determined for it to be amazing, and there's just all these other things that keep getting in the way, and you're like, shouldn't be this hard, you know? Mm-hmm. And the vision is just stronger sometimes than your manners of execution.
Totally.
I'll talk about it when I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
There we go.
Love it.
So you're Phantom girly through and through, but did that inspire you to ask, hey, can I do a show? Like, did you ask your parent? Like, what was the next step?
The next step was a series of crazy steps. My sister was interested in modeling, and we joined like one of those kind of scammy modeling things. And I was like, this isn't my jam. It's fun, but it's not my jam. And then I did a community theater production of, I feel like it was Sleeping Beauty, and I played a fairy godmother, but it was a panto.
Oh, fun.
I played a fairy godmother whose wand was made of a leek. I've had a wand before.
This is all meant to be.
But it was a giant leek. And I did a little bit of a ballet as well. So it's always been, there's always been some level of performance, but Phantom for me was like the thing. I was like, I want to do that. I want it to be tortured and romantic and awesome.
Oh, that's really great. Daniel, what about you? You grew up, it was in the South more so, or is that where you went to college?
No, I went to college in Fort Worth, Texas, although don't call it the South if you're in Texas, because they'll be like, this is not the South. Texas is Texas. I grew up kind of all over the place. I was born in Kansas City. That's definitely my hometown, but I was born there and I went to high school there, but in between we lived all over. We were in Michigan, we were in New Jersey, we lived in New York for about 3 years. And so my early experiences with like school plays were pretty disastrous. I like didn't want to do them, didn't want to have lines, didn't want to be featured. That was really stressful for me. But we would go, my parents took us to see shows in Kansas City at Starlight Theater, and then when we moved to New York, they took us to see shows on Broadway, which I really loved, but I didn't like make the connection of like, oh, you can do this. Like, if you want to do this, you can go and try to do this. But I loved like Scarlet Pimpernel was a musical that I loved. I saw that 3 times. And then it was high school was when I really fell in with the theater department. And at that point, my mom was like, you know, if you want to, like, you can try to do this, like, you can make this the thing that you go on and try to do. And that was sort of news to me. But the moment for me was easily, I was working on the concessions crew, selling, you know, like usher's concessions, passing out programs and doing candy for a production of Into the Woods my freshman year in high school. And so I would do that. And then I would go inside and sit and watch the show, you know, every night that it was on, which in high school was like four nights.
Yeah.
But it was incredible. I don't know if it was like a great production. I think it was. I had a very good high school theater program, but hearing that music, you know, I just never really seen a musical like that. And with that kind of wit and that kind of humor, and it was in a teeny tiny little black box theater. So that was really, for me, that was the electrifying sort of the Ring of Keys thing, was going like, oh, this is amazing.
And that's a great show to have be your Ring of Keys moment too. I mean,
oh my God. I think for a lot of people too, the Great Performances VHS tape of that one was like seminal for a yes. lot of us, in the way that Phantom was for you, Kara.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of our guests on this show have mentioned yeah. that as their Ring of Keys. Now, wait, Daniel, I've got to ask, you did Take Me Out, which I saw three times.
Uh-huh. How come?
Yeah, Connor did go back, well, a few times.
Yeah. Well, I saw it at Second Stage twice, yeah. and then I had to go on Broadway. Did you get to go on a lot?
No, I never went on.
Never?
I covered the Second Stage run, not the Broadway transfer.
Okay.
And they were really, they were really thinned out. And so they brought in an emergency cover. So I sent in a tape. I had not auditioned for the show originally. Jim knew they needed somebody and reached out to me and was like, can you put anything on tape? But I knew the play really well. So I was like, yeah, he was like, anything from any play. But I was like, I'm pretty familiar with this. I can put a side on. And that was Friday night. I think I sent him the tape Saturday morning, and Tuesday I started rehearsal. I covered Patrick Adams, Michael Oberholzer, and Carl Lundstedt.
Oh my gosh,
the white boy track.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The redneck white boys. Well, not Patrick, but the other two.
Yeah, not Kippy.
No, Kippy's very erudite.
That's great.
Yeah,
we loved Taking Out. We did like a I don't know where this idea came from, but we did an episode where we had, it was like three bases with or three strikes with three cast members. It was like three mini episodes in one. And we had Michael Oberholzer on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Not enough good things to say about him. That was a part that I was always really interested in, but the way that he, the inventiveness and the heart that he brought to it was absolutely incredible. And He gave me and my wife. My wife was pregnant when I was doing that show, and he gave us so much baby stuff, like us, his son's clothes, his little rocker. That, you know, going into that, I didn't know how I was going to feel. If it was going to feel very like aggro male testosterone-y, and it was like the softest tender boys you can imagine. Like, it was the most loving, wonderful group of people. Like, just right away, we were those of us who came in last minute. We were part of the family, and it was so special.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sorry you never got to go on, though.
That's okay. Awesome. At that point, you know, it was, we just didn't have a lot of time, and it was a learning, the track was pretty significant to learn to cover. And so whatever felt least likely to happen at the time was what I wanted to happen. So when it felt like I wasn't going to get to go on, I was like, oh, I'd like to maybe get a crack at this. And then when somebody was out and felt like maybe I would, I was like, I don't want to, I'm not ready.
Yeah, right.
Now, Kara, you did Time in the Conways on Broadway, which is a play that Connor and I saw. We brought our parents because we're big Downton Abbey people. And so we needed to see Elizabeth Montgomery live. Talk about an ethereal being. I don't know. I just picture her as like this like fairy queen and everything that she does.
Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
I loved when the set moved. That was,
yeah,
that was beautiful.
That was a really special experience. Like, that whole crew of people was, Elizabeth McGovern was very much like, she was a lady, like when I want to say lady in the way that like a British lady, but she was also very much an American lady. Like, you felt like you were in the presence of, ethereal is a good word, like importance, but it wasn't like necessarily stately. Like, there was nothing kind of enforced about it. And the play too is really great, but it's based off of a book that deals with time travel, mm-hmm. which is also really weird because Harry Potter deals with time travel. Yeah. And so it being next door and then leading to this is just like, is that I'm going to make my way through all the Broadway houses doing time travel shows. But I'm really glad that that was the experience that I had as my first Broadway experience, because it was a small cast. Everyone was so sweet and lovely. And the story itself was so tender, you know, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was very special to me.
You weren't the one who stepped out onto the front of the stage at the end, were you?
No.
Okay. Okay.
That's the main daughter whose name escapes me now, but yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. I can picture that so clearly in my mind, being like, it was like a gag for me. I was like, oh my God, like what's happening?
The book is crazy. Like if you ever have a chance to read resource material, it's all about when you sleep, how you can actually practice dreaming and essentially reading the future. So like they believe, and it's not like the play just kind of, the play is so romantic and like light. She goes to sleep and she wakes up in like this dire future. Mm-hmm. The book itself is, it's an instruction manual essentially of how to sleep and start to predict minor things in the future.
Oh, interesting.
They need to revisit that and write like a modern version of Time in the Con.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I want to ask each of you about a TV credit from, you know, from your CVs, these long CVs, we mentioned earlier. But Cara, I want to start with you. You did Orphan Black, which I know, Canadian show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it. It was years ago, but Tatiana Maslany was everything to me on that show. I mean, I still can't believe she was like basically the only actor on that show. You know, then like three other people. But what episode were you in? Did you get to see her act alongside her?
He shot like a fake. I forget what her character, because she plays so many different people.
Yeah,
like the makeup-y bouncy character.
Oh, Crystal, right?
Crystal. I was Crystal's best friend named Bree, and we opened her episode with us shooting a YouTube video for makeup application.
Oh, I remember that. That's so fun.
It was so fun. Tatiana is a gem. She's such a lovely person. And then like when she performs, she's all the way in it. So we were just goofy. Like we were talking about like all of our fans who speak different languages, so we can't really read their comments. Like it was just so silly. And that whole company of people was just really great. Like it just felt like they were putting together something new and fresh, and so it felt very alive and like trying stuff out, and I loved it. It was so fun.
Oh, it's so cool.
I need to revisit that. I need to revisit that as well.
I know.
Wait, Connor, were you gonna ask Daniel about Mare of Easttown?
Of course. Okay. Well, yes.
It was for me is really my only TV credit.
Is Treehouse a film, or is that
Treehouse is a movie, and it's a movie.
Available now on Amazon Prime.
Treehouse is the dictionary definition movie. Yeah.
So Mare of Easttown, was this a one episode? Like what was going on?
I was in two episodes, but one of them I was sort of in the background of, and I sort of learned a lesson there. I mean, it wound up being a great experience, but I had turned down an audition for a Broadway show because I had booked this thing on Mare of Easttown. And it was a good lesson to sort of be like, you know, you really like, I love theater. I love theater. And it was a great lesson to be like, you know, you should like the thing that you love, the thing that fires you up, like that's what you should pursue, even if it's just a shot versus, you know. But I wound up having a great time on Mare of Easttown. I was in the ensemble cast of the Lehman trilogy at the time, and trying to balance both of those was very stressful. And I think I would have gotten fired from one, if not both of those jobs for trying to make it both work, if not for the COVID-19 pandemic, to be totally honest. But yeah, Mare of Easttown was a great experience. They were just shooting in somebody's house in this really rundown suburb of Philadelphia. Was not on a set. Kate Winslet was just in there hanging out with us, and she was incredible. I mean, she was a dynamo. The shoots were going to like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So everybody was totally exhausted except for her. I mean, I'm sure she was, but she was a producer, she was acting. And I mean, so it was really amazing to see her kind of like her presence on set and the energy and the lift that she was bringing to the whole thing. And then to watch the show and be like, good God, this lady can act. Oh, yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, that was a transformation for her in many ways.
Yeah. And she's always been one of mine and my wife's favorite actors to watch. But to see the work that she did in that show, to see it up close and then to watch the final product, it was that scene where she's in kind of talking to the school counselor, mm-hmm. is like totally unforgettable.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you know, I thought of her earlier in the episode when Connor referred to you as the reader. And I was like, oh, wait, like the Kate Winslet movie. And then, yeah, a little bit of a difference. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. What I did for Carnahan wasn't really anything like that. Nobody was.
Nice. No bathtubs involved. And
Nobody was in a bath. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. You two are so delightful. This has been such a blast. We are wrapping up, but before we say goodbye, we always end on a dose of drama. This could be a recommendation, a rant, a rave, something you're doing later, something you did last night. Could be literally anything. And I have to rave. I teased at the end of the last episode that I was going to see Challengers, the new Zendaya, Mike Feist, Josh O'Connor film. And y'all, it's the movie of the year. It's so freaking good. I'm obsessed with it. Can't wait to go back. It is brilliant. I don't want to say like too much other than I've just raised all of your expectations. I think it's the best movie in the entire world, but absolutely loved it. The chemistry between these three, it's beyond. It's Zendaya's never been better. So y'all have to go see Challengers. It hits, literally. It's a tennis movie. Right. So yeah. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
Yeah, mine's a TV show. I don't know if anyone has heard about Baby Reindeer, this Netflix limited series. And, you know, it was a British one-man play. I think the pandemic stopped it from its West End run actually happening or whatever. And then now it's this 7-episode miniseries. It's not for the faint of heart. It's like a dark comedy thriller about a man who one act of kindness leads to him opening the door to this woman who stalks him for the next like couple years of his life. And it is intense and dark, and it takes a huge turn a few episodes in. And it is really interesting. But like I said, I will give a content warning. It's not for the faint of heart by any means. So definitely look into it before you actually watch it. I don't want to be like, you need to watch it, but it's really great.
You saw all of it?
I did watch all of it. And
why
in two sittings.
Do you find out why it's called Baby Reindeer?
You do.
Okay.
You do.
All right. Well, I saw people posting about it and I was like, is this a Christmas film on Netflix in April? You
know well, I'll mean? Say like her name is Martha, the woman who stalks Donnie, who's the main character. It's what she calls him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not a Christmas film.
Not at all.
Not a Hallmark movie.
No. Shoot. Have either of you seen it? Or have you heard about it? Or?
I've only heard it at the TikTok. There's a lot of TikTok takes, and they think they found the real Martha.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like trying to watch the tea, but I don't understand the tea because I haven't seen Baby Reindeer. And I'm like, I need to see Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, because it's a true story. That's the other aspect of it, too, is this really happened to this man? And so I wonder like how much he had to sort of twist legally or like, because things do get, yeah. That's really interesting. Now I'm going to go on a TikTok, a dumb TikTok hole to find out what happened here. That's crazy. Kara or Daniel, do either of you have a dose of drama for us?
You already know my dose of drama because we were talking about it. You have to go see Stereophonic. They are can I say that an album is
here? Yeah.
They're about to release an album. And Tom allowed me to listen to or like played the tracks last night. And it is unreal how cool it, like it's good. And so yeah, you need to see the show, check out the album. It's a great show. And
I need to hear Masquerade again.
You need to hear it on the album. A fully produced,
like, oh my god,
oh, well, heard behind, like
we were at Places the other night. I was like, Connor, I've just listened to this Masquerade song. I was like, god dang, dude, Tom can sing.
Yes.
You can sing. And they're all playing the instruments at the show. They're playing the instruments live. Like some people call it, is it a recording? Is it but it's great. It's really great.
I wondered, and I can obviously ask Tom about this when we chat, if the vocals are always live too during
all live.
That is amazing. I love it. Did you get to go to the opening night and everything?
Yes, I did. I got to be the girlfriend.
Yes.
Almost famous in the situation. Very cool.
Penny Lane, realness. Yeah.
Daniel, take us home. Dose of drama.
Oh, man. Mine has got to be Saltburn. No, I love Saltburn, but I only mentioned that because Cara and I have like the polar opposite opinions about it. So that was a little bit of a troll there. No, my dose of drama is Oh Mary, which is Cola Scola's incredible play about Mary Todd Lincoln. It's at the Lucy Lortel, and it was just announced it's going to transfer to Broadway. It's going to be at the Lyceum, which is awesome. I'm so glad more people will get to see it. It is so funny. I've been a Cola Scola fan since Search Party was the first thing that I saw them do, and thought they were like so eerie and funny and strange in that. And then my wife and I went to see Oh Mary last week, and it's incredible because the comic execution is really extraordinary. And also the way that they nail melodrama, which is such a difficult style to get right, because it's, you don't, we don't have a great frame of reference for it anymore. It's not in pop culture in the way that it used to be, stylistically anyway. And so I just thought it was totally extraordinary, like so queer, so funny, and really just a total blast. Yeah. So that's my vote.
I know. Thank goodness. It was the hottest ticket like this, these last couple of weeks. Like when I was just in New York and it was impossible to try and get a ticket to that.
I think I got them at like the last possible second that they could have been got.
I'm excited. I do. Look, Cole was crazy brilliant on Search Party.
Yes.
That whole season with the house and the, all of that was tough.
Oh, God. Wasn't Susan Sarandon a riot?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I love that show. I love that show.
It's Wait, was so that good. A Canadian show? I'm looking at Cara. I'm like, you know, you're the expert on all Canadian things. Was it filmed in Canada for some?
No, but I don't know.
Hey, I don't know.
Sir, you should have just told the truth and said that Saltburn is the greatest film of our generation, which is what you sometimes when we're on this on stage and Ron does his little, like, you know, you love me because of this, he throws in his little Saltburn dance that he's shown me in full. So.
Like the Barry Keoghan dance at the end?
Yeah.
Daniel, you've got to do it through the lyric.
Yeah, that's right.
That's our next TikTok.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's but I will say that it differs from the Barry Keoghan dance in one pretty significant aspect.
Rhythm? You mean rhythm?
That is so hurtful. I can't believe you would say that to me.
I love you, bro.
I love you, dog.
Wait, Danny, when you said Saltburn, I was going to say, okay, it's like 6 months later. But I was like, but you know.
Yeah, honestly, 6 months for me, staying within 6 months of something as a parent of a toddler is like, that's about as good as it gets.
I won't make Connor reveal that he has a Saltburn poster up.
I was going to show. Well, now that I know that Cara's
I want to see it.
Okay. Do you see it's, over there? It's Jacob Elordi.
Very nice.
I thought Saltburn was such a blast. And Jacob Elordi was fantastic in that movie. We don't need to get into it. Carr is going to get head up about it.
I love Talented Mr. Ripley. I think it's good for what it was. I'm dying to see Andrew Scott's Ripley. Like, that's going to be, you know.
So Saltburn
was fun. But, like, Daniel came back and he was like, oh, my God.
Stop. Carr's lying. Carr took a bazooka and a flamethrower to Saltburn.
I love a movie that has polarizing opinions in both ways, though.
Like, we would come off stage, and like every time we came off stage after a scene, she was like, and another thing.
To be fair, I was on Red Bull, like my first Red Bull of the day. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm thinking like November was when it came out. That was when y'all had just started. Like there was a lot, you were adjusting.
Yeah.
That's and, like, so generous of you to say, Dylan.
Everybody was also like raving about Saltburn. I'm not going to say it's a terrible movie. It's very fun. I do enjoy it. But people were like, Saltburn.
I know.
She's not going to say it's a terrible movie because she already did say that.
Off the mic. Yeah.
Wait till you get to Hogwarts.
Well, everyone needs to see this dynamic in real life. It's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Yes. It is absolutely incredible. And I know I'm going to be making my way back there this summer. You two are fantastic. Where can the people find you? I know that Cara, you're on Instagram. Daniel, I couldn't find you.
You can find me in Washington Heights. if you want to, you know, if it means that much to you, that's where I am. You know, come on up and you'll probably find me at one of the playgrounds.
I didn't mean to dox you on the podcast. I'm
in
sorry.
The neighborhood. No, I don't really. I have a Twitter account that's basically just for following football news. So I don't really do anything like personal on there, and I don't have any like branding stuff. So, you know, if it's that big a deal, come to see Harry Potter. If you want to talk to me, if you want to come to Washington Heights, we can have lunch.
There you go.
Cara.Ricketts on everything but X. So Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. I think YouTube might be no dot, but like on Twitter, formerly known as X, which I don't really keep up with, is Cara_Ricketts.
Okay, great.
Got you.
Well, we'll include the links below. And thank you both so much. This was honestly such a blast.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I had a great time. This was great.
Oh, thank you. And while everybody's following, you know, to Washington Heights or even on Instagram, you should follow the Drama Podcast. I'm at Connor McDowell and Dylan's at Dylan McDowell.
That's right. And thank you both again. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.